Amen. Thank you, John. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the third chapter of Titus. We're going to begin reading in verse 12 and read through the end of the chapter here in just a moment and charge these two men that we're ordaining tonight that our deacons have questioned and found in good standing and have brought them forward to be ordained. I'm going to ask them to come down here and join me. Bob and Misty, would you come? Where are the Prestons? Here they are. Would you guys come and have a seat right here? That'd be good. And then Simon, would you and Lauren come and have a seat just across on the other side on this second row here? That'll be good. This is Bob and Misty Preston, and I'll let y'all have a seat right here. That'll be good. God love you. Amen. Yeah, good, good. Good to see you. Yeah. And then Lauren, you and Simon come right over here. Bless you tonight. Love you guys. Good to see you. Yeah. So we had a great time of presbytery and talking to them after you selected these as two of the 20 guys to come on our team. And so in a few minutes after we look at the Word of God, we'll ask them to come and kneel here, and our ordained men will come lay hands on them, pray over them as we set them aside tonight and into the ministry and the office of a deacon. And we've been talking a lot about Titus these last three or four weeks, and we're again tonight in Titus chapter 3. And I just get you a little background. I hadn't talked about this too much, but Titus, of course, is the man receiving this letter from Paul. Paul's been in jail at the end of Acts, and then he's released from the maritime prison in Rome, and he's going to leave and go on certain trips that he takes. He was released from the house in Rome in the end of Acts, and then we find him going to Ephesus. There he left Timothy, and after going to Ephesus and leaving Timothy, he was on to Macedonia, northern Greece, and it was from there in Macedonia that he wrote the letter, 1 Timothy, and sent it out to the churches, and from there he visited Crete. Now, the island of Crete is where he left Titus. Titus was the young man, and he left him on the island of Crete, and then he went on to Troas, and from there he would write back to Titus, and it would be sent to Crete, and there the young preacher, Titus, would receive that letter, and from there he was taken in prison again, finally gone back to Rome and beheaded for the gospel, where Paul died, being in that Roman prison for a second time. But Paul scattered young leaders everywhere he went. That's the job of the church. Raise up young leaders and send them out and serve alongside of them. We do that with preachers. There was a pastor that was here this morning. He left us 15 years ago. I didn't even know where he had been serving, and he came, and his daughter is back, having just left Troy University. He's come to Pensacola State College, and he was back here with her. He'd been a pastor in Dallas and then down in Tampa, and he is sent out. He came by and hugged me this morning. I looked at him like, I think I know you. I couldn't remember, and then we got reacquainted, and it was such a great time to see him, having been sent out. Jeff, the long beard. Fields. Jeff Fields. They called him to be the pastor of a church today. God help that church. Jeff, y'all remember Jeff that served here with us in youth ministry? He's got a beard this long. I'm telling you, he looks like Moses going in there to be the pastor at Jensen Beach is where he is. And they set him aside today, prayed over him, sent him out. Man, I remember when he served here with us, I thought, man, if God uses him, it'll be a miracle of the Lord. But man, he's been out doing discipleship, and it's just amazing to watch God raise people up. Well, we have these young men here tonight, and we're going to pray over them. God's raised them up. They're already serving, but now they'll serve as deacons. Well, that's what Paul did with young Titus. And at the end of this letter to Titus, he writes these words in Titus 3, verse 12. Titus, He's saying to Titus, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. I'm going to send these two men. They'll take care of things. You come to where I am. Also, Titus, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you, Titus. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. There are many names that he could have named, but Paul drops here in this text the name of four. Two of these men, this is the only thing we know about them. They're mentioned at the end of Titus. Artemas, only thing we know about him is Paul said, I send Artemas. I'm sending. Evidently, we can extrapolate from that that there were some things about Artemas. It's good. He sent him. He wouldn't have sent him if he hadn't have been trustworthy, if he hadn't have been a servant. But that's all we know about Artemas. We don't know where he's from. We don't know anything about him. We know Titus has come out of a Gentile background, and we don't know about Artemas. The other is Zenas the lawyer. It's the only thing we know about Zenas. We don't know if he is a lawyer of Roman law or Old Testament law like a scribe. You could have been either. We don't know. He just says here, help the lawyer. He just sent Artemas, but in Jesus' name, help the lawyer. Now, what's he mean? Maybe he means to help him to do his work. He's coming, he's going to serve you, but you help him. Probably wasn't a rich man. Might have been a man that had been schooled in law and now had come to faith in Christ, and it may have cost him everything he had. These two men, we're not sure. We just know they are servants. Artemas, this is all we know. Zenas, all we know. What Paul tells Titus. But then there are two others. We know a little bit more about them. Tychicus. In Ephesians 6:21, he says about this man found in verse 12. In Ephesians 6:21, he calls him a beloved brother and a faithful minister. We find him in Colossians 4 and verse 7. He's called a bond servant, and he says, now gentlemen, don't miss this. He said, I have given him information to share with you. Paul entrusted some knowledge to Tychicus that he didn't give to everybody else. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 12, he said, I'm sending you to Ephesus, Tychicus, and most people believe as they extrapolate from that, that Tychicus was the mail carrier of the Ephesian letter. We think about that today, just run out to the mail. Can you imagine, just think, that you had the scroll of the book of Ephesians. Your job is just to get it to Ephesus. You wouldn't just trust anybody with that. And here we are 2,000 years later. Man, what a powerful book, those six chapters of Ephesians. The gospel armor, all that's in there that Paul wrote, gave, we believe, to Tychicus to carry that letter. He carried the mail. We need some deacons that carry the mail. Amen. Deliver what need be done. And then we have Apollos. He's the best known of the four. Apollos, of course, there's a whole chapter in Acts about Apollos. Apollos in chapter 18. He's the man who was brilliant with the scriptures. He was trained and knew the ways of the Lord, and he was teaching. And then they ask him about his baptism and how he had been baptized. And he said, well, I've known the baptism of John. And they said, well, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. There are two ordinances in the Baptist church. One is the Lord's Supper, and the other, we asked these gentlemen about them. The other is baptism. Dr. W.A. Criswell, who was one of my preaching heroes years ago, he did his PhD dissertation on the baptism of John. John the Baptist was baptizing people. But we don't follow John the Baptist. We follow Jesus the Christ. And those that had followed John and been baptized by John's baptism then had to be baptized in Jesus' name. Apollos only knew the baptism of John, and they opened the Word of God to him so that he understood it and was baptized. Then they asked him, Paul asked him, Apollos, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He said, I didn't know there was one. And they led him into the fullness of the Spirit life. That's this man right here, Apollos. Four truths I want to give you two gentlemen tonight, and I want everybody to grab them, but especially for you and your sweet wives right here. What do I glean out of this? These four men teach me these things. Number one is connection. They are connected to Paul. They're connected to the church. It is essential, gentlemen, that you remain connected with the church, with your pastor, with the deacon body, that you are interrelated. Connected is so important. I've watched deacons get ordained and it be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. Because all of a sudden, after they come and they kneel here and someone lays their hands on them, they think that they're somebody after they've been ordained. You cannot be less in the church as a deacon unless you become the pastor. That's the only place lower than a deacon. You're not here for you. You not become somebody. You don't even become something other than a servant. That's why it's so important you stay connected unto the church, that you know the family of God. That's what these four men did. Number one, they were connected. Number two is the word credit. They didn't care who got it. Two of them, we don't even know what they did. We don't even know their Artemis and Zenas. All we know is one of them's a lawyer, the other one just know their names. It doesn't matter if anybody knows your names, guys. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. As long as God gets the glory. That's what these four guys are teaching us. That's what we all need to learn, is it's not about us getting credit, but about God getting glory. You ever been in a meeting and somebody is like this and they're talking and you think, I mean, you never would say it out loud, but it comes in your mind, I think he's talking about me. And he's fixing to say something about what I did. And then they just bypass you and go somewhere else. And you think, well, okay, it's really not important, is it? No, it's not important. See, it's not about who gets the credit, it's about who gets the glory. And that's what we have to remain and remind ourselves as deacons, as ministers, as Baptists, as men and women after the heart of God, that it's not about us getting credit, it's about God getting glory, and it is to come through us unto Him. And that's what these four men teach us. Stay connected, credit, doesn't matter who gets it. Number three, we find that these men are caregivers, caregivers. Everywhere Paul went, he dropped these men off, and they took care of the church. He said, when Artemis and Tychicus is coming, he said, leave them there when you come to Nicopolis for the winter. They'll take care of stuff. Caregiving is a big word in our world today, being caregiver. It's often said that the caregiver will sometimes die before the sick person because it's harder on the caregiver than it is the one who is ill, when we think especially of elderly people. My mother-in-law was here with us for 6 years, and my brother-in-law called a few months ago and said, how about letting my mom move back home and we will take care of her. I will be the care. You guys have done it for 6 years. How about letting us do it? Well, I didn't have a vote. I'm not supposed to say anything. And so I just got quiet. And when they decided that they would do that, somebody asked me, said, Pastor, how did you respond? I said, I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I just went in my prayer closet and spoke in tongues, and that's all I did right there. I praise God every way I knew to praise Him. That's all I knew to do. And so we called the other day and asked Elliot, said, how's it going? And he started telling us stuff that he didn't know. I said, well, we've been doing that 6 years. If you just ask, you know, well, easy. Just let him learn. Caregiving is not easy business. Gentlemen, as deacons, being caregivers is not easy work. That's what God's called us to do. Not like we take care of someone who's ill or on their deathbed or in a nursing home, but that we give care to the church as a whole. I'm telling you, it is at times hard work. But that's what these men did. They were connected, so they knew the needs. Credit, they didn't care who got it. They were caregivers unto the church, because Paul says in verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds so we meet pressing needs. That's the giving of care so that we'll not be unfruitful. And then, while these men were connected with credit, doesn't matter who gets it, they were caregivers. But number four, Bob and Simon, these men were confidants to the Apostle Paul. He says in Colossians 4 and 7, I have given information unto them that they will then share with you. There are things that go on in this body, in this church, that deacons deal with that very few other people know about, because we deal with that, and we deal with that in the matter of confidence. People have asked you to serve here because they believe you can carry that mail and deal with that and be a confidant. There are times that some of our deacons, that I need them to be a confidant to me. My phrase is usually, listen, guys, this is dead men's talk here. We've got to deal with this, but we have to deal with it in this way. And it's not something that needs to be widely known. We need to deal with it. We need to do the right thing. But it helps us not that it becomes widespread. It's that we do the right thing, the right spirit. That doesn't happen very often, but it does come. And this church believes that you're the kind of men and the kind of wives that can handle those kind of issues. Confidant. Crawford Odom is our deacon chairman. Oh, Brother Crawford and I have, through the years, shared some things one-on-one together. And this year already, we have those things. And pastor and his deacon chairman is, man, it's a great relationship that I have with that man. It's even different than I have with trusted staff that the pastor has. I remember we had a gentleman that was here, and we asked him to give a testimony, and he came and he walked up and he stood there, and it was like for 10 seconds he was frozen in time. And then he did a good job, and after service he came to me and he said, how do you stand up there every week? And I said, well, it's, you know, I've been doing it. He said, no, how do you do that? They would ask John the same. How in the world, when all those bright lights come out? We'll tell you how. You got good and godly men that are around you holding up your hands. Sean, John, you remember I took you guys through that book? We did our Bible study together this year, and we came. I read it again this morning. It was in my daily quiet time this morning. and it just had gone over my head. You remember when Moses is up on the mountain and Joshua's down in the valley? And his hands got tired, and Aaron and Hur came, and when he lifted up the rod, they won. But when it came down, they lost. Do you know who Joshua was fighting in the valley? The Amalekites. I just saw it this morning again. If you've never done a study of the Amalekites, that was the chief enemy all the way through the Old Testament. It's just amazing. We discovered it together as a staff in reading this book. Not long ago, how the Amalekites were always, always, always there. And I was reading this morning with his hands up, and I said, they're here again, the Amalekites, all the way through. And somebody had to battle. As long as he had somebody to keep his hands up, they won the victory. That's the job of a deacon. That's Aaron. That's Hur. He comes alongside and helps the man of God keep his hands up where they need be. Some go with Joshua into the valley and fight the battle. These are connected people. Credit who cares. Caregivers to the church all around and confidants with information that need to be done. And then verse 15, I close before we pray over these men. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace. Listen to that. Paul is saying to Titus, grace be with all of you. You know what this church needs more than anything in the world? She needs grace. Grace. We deserve hell, but God gives us grace. And what God gives us, we need to give to one another. We need to give grace one to another. When your brother or your sister drops a ball and messes up, they need grace. And Paul says, grace be with you. These deacons need grace. They need the grace of God to be on them. And you men need to give grace to the church. Now, just before we pray, I always just like to save one word to Misty and to Lauren. Ladies, sometimes the worst job in the church is to be the wife of a deacon. You're saddled with some stuff sometimes. It's not fair to put on you. But let me tell you, this church is still here after 125 years because we've had great men that have stood to lead us, but we've had great deacons all around us that have had wonderful women standing beside them that have led us where we need to go. And we know that they've been the strength, backbone, grit, prayer warriors in helping us get to where we need to be. And so while I pray for your husbands tonight, I pray for you as well. And I'm grateful for you being a part of our family. Now, Bob and Misty are over in our Warrington campus serving in that way. I've not known them as well, but they're newer to our church. I'm related here to this family. And that Lauren's brother, Brad, who is our, he's the vice chairman of the deacons. That's a miracle of God, isn't it, right there? Little Lauren, she, look at that. Brad, my son-in-law, our deacons elected this year. And I've known them well, been there when children were born. And but together, we go forward with what God wants us to do. And I'm so proud of you guys and grateful to God for you. Really am. This is a wonderful night to lay hands on you and pray over you this night. So here's what we want to do. Our ordained men that know these guys and would like to be a part, we're going to ask you to come and just briefly lay your hands on them and pray over them and ask the anointing of God to be on them. I have children from time to time that'll come to me after a service like this and they'll say, what do you say down there when you pray? When I was ordained, I only remember one thing. I remember many men that prayed over me, but I remember one word that was whispered in my ear by one of my dearest friends in all the world. He prayed this prayer. He said, Ted, wherever you go, make sure they know there has been a prophet among them.